Chapter 1. Their Legacy. 75 years is a long time in any life. In the life of NIB, the past 75 years have seen many changes in what people who are blind have accomplished. Today's employees in NIB-associated agencies are professionals in their own right. They are capable, bright, and accomplished, and often have a clearer picture of their career paths than others around them. But it wasn't always this way. There was a time when there were very few opportunities, if any, for a person who was blind to find meaningful and steady employment. In many respects, the history of the blindness movement in the United States followed the country's social, political, and economic climate. The Industrial Revolution that began in Great Britain and spread throughout the United States and the rest of the world in the early 19th century had a profound effect on Americans. Innovations in textiles, steam power, machinery, and transportation led to the growth of industries. Ordinary citizens found increased opportunities for employment, leading to massive changes in the social, economic, and cultural conditions of the times. The average income of Americans and the population of cities began to exhibit unprecedented and sustained growth. But during this time, little attention was given to the needs of the blind population for education, training, and employment. An early solution came in the mid-19th century, when the first industrial program was established to serve the growing needs of people who were blind. Because there was limited transportation available, employees were housed nearby in boarding homes. Soon after, similar facilities sprang up in major cities around the country. By 1908, there were 18 homes and industries in existence. Their total sales were $311,000. Hardly enough to provide steady work and living wages to their 583 employees. To sustain these programs, managers had to find markets for the products, which were mostly handmade baskets, rugs, and brooms. However, a strong competitor, the federal prisons, made it difficult for industries for the blind to maintain a share of the broom business. These industries soon competed among themselves for a portion of the business, which impacted the working conditions and wages of employees. And because of inconsistent sales, financial institutions viewed these organizations as risky investments, making modernization, industrial production, or expansion almost impossible. It was clear that drastic action was needed if there was to be any hope of transforming these undercapitalized small producers of handcrafted items into sound business ventures. That action came in the late 1930s from three men, two of whom were blind. Born in Hudson, Massachusetts in 1895, Peter J. Salmon was not aware that he was different from other boys, and did not realize he could not see as well until he was placed at the Perkins Institution at Massachusetts School for the Blind at the age of 9. Graduating in 1916, Salmon developed a burning zeal to improve opportunities for people who were blind, particularly those who were deafblind. He joined the Industrial Home for the Blind in 1917 and moved up to the position of executive director. His first national efforts to improve conditions came in 1928, when he testified before Congress and urged members to pass legislation to restrict the sale of prison-made goods at low prices in the open market. During this time, Salmon developed friendships with the chief of federal prison industries, leaders of the National Association of Broom Manufacturers, and the executive director of the American Foundation for the Blind, AFB. These friendships later proved invaluable in securing a federal market for industries serving people who are blind. Salmon's passion was matched by Robert B. Irwin's spirit and intelligence. At age 5, inflammatory rheumatism left him totally blind. He graduated from Washington State School for the Blind and won a scholarship to Harvard Graduate School. Irwin began his career in education and eventually joined AFB. His work chairing the Subcommittee of the Surgeon General on War Blinded and the World Conference on Work for the Blind in New York brought him international prominence. It was Salmon's vision of creating a steady market for products that inspired AFB's president Moses C. Meigel to join the cause. In 1937, Salmon wrote to Meigel, quote, "I don't think that AFB could possibly do anything that would result in more jobs for people who are blind in a shorter period of time than getting federal and state governments to purchase the brooms and mops they make," unquote. A philanthropist, Meigel was a man of broad business experience and national prominence. A pioneer who advocated for the needs of servicemen who were blinded during World War I, Meigel became the first chairman of the AFB board and lobbied for free railroad transportation for all guide dogs, as well as federal appropriations for Braille literature and talking books. He also sponsored a conference in London where uniform English Braille was adopted, and financed the operation of a summer camp for young girls who were blind. Inspired by Salmon's dream, Meigel prevailed upon his good friend, Senator Robert F. Wagner of New York, to introduce a bill in the Senate that would establish the federal government as a steady market for industries employing people who are blind. New York's Congresswoman Caroline Love Goodwin O'Day, a close friend of President Franklin D. Roosevelt, championed the cause in the House. All of these visionaries, Salmon, Irwin, Meigel, Wagner, and O'Day, knew that Salmon's vision was not a request for a government subsidy, but simply an opportunity to demonstrate the capabilities of people who are blind. Salmon's dream became reality when President Roosevelt signed the Wagner-O'Day Act on June 25, 1938. Everyone has a legacy, something they can leave behind for which they will always be remembered. For these visionaries, their legacy dramatically shaped opportunities for economic and personal independence for thousands of Americans who were blind or had other severe disabilities in the following decades.